Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Hotels.com.
Welcome to NBA Today. I'm Malika Andrews, joined by Kendrick Perkins, Richard Jefferson, and Zach Lowe. We are live in Miami, and we're going to get to the conference finals in just a minute, but we have to start with the 19 children and two teachers who were murdered yesterday in Uvalde, Texas. So, unfortunately, this is nothing new in this country. It's the consistency, the prevalence of gun violence in the United States. It's the most troubling part of it. Yesterday's attack, it was the deadliest school shooting in the United States since 2012, when a gunman killed 20 children and six adults at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut. But frankly, it's not about quantifying it. 5, 22. It is too many mothers, fathers, daughters, sons, grandparents, our neighbors, strangers. Where we're sitting right now, it's 37 miles from Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, where 17 people were murdered 4 years ago. So we're going to get to last night's game. But first, we want to start our show by calling for some change, the same thing that Steve Kerr did yesterday at his pregame press conference against the Mavericks.
Any basketball questions don't matter. Since we left shoot around, 14 children were killed 400 miles from here. And a teacher. And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California. And now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple of years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. It's what we do every week. So I'm fed up. I've had enough. We're going to play the game tonight, but I want every person here, every person listening to this, to think about your own child or grandchild or mother or father or sister, brother. How would you feel if this happened to you today? We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs, you know. Come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. And 50 senators in Washington are going to hold us hostage. Do you realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check? 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
Steve Kerr has been as outspoken as anyone in the sports world when it comes to gun violence. It's personal for him. His father, Malcolm, was the president of the American University of Beirut when he was shot and killed in 1984. And earlier today, Celtics star Jason Tatum and head coach Ime Udoka, they also spoke about the situation.
It's sad that it's becoming something that we're, like, getting numb to. And it truly is. You know, what happened yesterday was sickening, and You know, obviously everybody sends their prayers and condolences to the families of those kids. But, you know, at some point, that does get tiring of, you know, going through the same process and the same result keeps happening over and over again. And, you know, I'm no politician and things like that, but I heard something yesterday that the guy, when he turned 18, first thing he did was bought a handgun and an assault rifle. You know, just if you don't know anything about laws, that just doesn't sound like something that should be, you know, that you should be able to do. So, you know, I am a basketball player. I don't have all the answers, but, you know, something does have to change in that regard. Because obviously things like this, unfortunately, continue to happen.
Yeah, that's the first thing you think about as a father, 10-year-old, fourth grader, and, you know, getting those calls or that frantic news and just unimaginable, honestly, to find yourself in that situation as a parent that you're thinking of it. And your heart goes out to the whole community, the country in general and the school, but, you know, it seems like these things continue to happen and not much of a wake-up call and nothing really changes. And so that's the thing that stands out. It's like, what's next? You know, things happened last week in Buffalo, this one yesterday, and you know, the first thing you think of as a parent, but also what's going to happen, what's going to change. And that's the kind of underlying theme and what's going to happen, what's going to change. And as of now, not much changes.
Udoka played and coached for the Spurs. San Antonio is about 80 miles from Uvalde. And Perk, you live in Texas. I know this hits close to home for you.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And Steve Kerr hit close to home to me. We talked about him losing his father to gun violence. I lost my mother at the age of 5 to gun violence. And so a lot of people don't realize until it happened to them, right? And then you go to Texas. I can't speak for the country, but I know I could speak for Texas, a state that I was raised in, a state that I reside in. And you look at the leadership, right? It starts with the leadership. You look at, you know, Greg Abbott, Ted Cruz, who's the leaders or so-called leaders who make these rules and things to that nature. And I go back to just thinking about the little thing of an ice storm. And I watched people who had, it was millions of people that struggled, didn't have power, didn't have water, didn't have food through an ice storm. And then you watch our senator, who represents the state, get on the plane with his family and go to Cancun. Okay, bypass all that. We here today, we're talking about this. I knew things were gonna happen like this, and it's sad to say, for the simple fact that when they passed this law last September, I actually tweeted out and said, I'm thinking about relocating my family, just because it's like the wild, wild west in Texas, okay? It's so bad to the point that I have a 10-year-old son. He's in the fourth grade. Guess what? He's in homeschool because I don't feel safe with him or my other kids going to school for the simple fact that it's too easy, not just for high schoolers and teenagers, but people in grade school to get to guns and bring them to school and for tragedies like this to happen. So unless, you know, the leaders or quote-unquote leaders decide to put their pride and power aside and make the necessary adjustments to keep everybody safe, then, look, we're not going to have change. And we're going to continue to be dealing with these type of situations. And it's hurtful because I just think about those kids that woke up, right, and didn't probably want to go to school, because you deal with that dealing with a 10-year-old and a fourth grader where they don't want to go to school. And the parents say, you're going to school today. And now the parent have to live with that when they was only making the right choices. Or the kid that woke up and said he wanted his favorite cereal, or he wanted to put on these shoes, or he wanted to put on this outfit. Like, it's so wrong. And just me thinking about it, like the whole situation, my mind is so far for basketball right now, because when you have kids, you can relate to all those parents that lost their children yesterday.
Man, it was tough. I was texting Steve Kerr, you know, earlier today, and I just told him, you know, how proud I was of him. And it was mainly because, look, I know Steve's backstory, and my father passed away a few years ago from gun violence. And, you know, I just told him, like, I would have never been able to have those words. I would have never been able to sit up there and say that. And my mom was a school teacher. Your mom is a school teacher. Yeah. I have a 5 and 7-year-old. Your parents are teachers. So it's like, you look at the most vulnerable of people, and they are doing it for a reason. They are going to the most vulnerable of places that will get the most amount of attention because that's where these people are. And it's just very, very tough. And like I told Steve that I am so proud that he is one of the faces of our league and that he uses his platform for positive change.
I feel what Jason Tatum said about I don't know what to do. I'm a private citizen, just like anyone who's watching right now. I feel helpless in a lot of ways. I'm not a mother, but I feel the pain of my friends and of strangers who dropped their kids off at school today. My mom, you mentioned it, Richard, she's a teacher, and I worry about her. So here's what I did before walking on set today. I called my representative, Senator Alex Padilla, and I urged him, please support a passage of legislation that'll promote background checks for gun purchasers. I encourage you all to do the same. NBA Today, we'll be right back.
Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is presented by Hotels.com. Find your perfect somewhere.
The Warriors with a 3-0 lead in the series. Do you want to pack for San Francisco or do you want to pack for Cancun? Gonna take what's mine, all mine. Sustained Mavericks run right here.
Players we're not used to calling their name so far in this series stepping up.
They don't want to go home yet. Doncic drains another triple. Dallas Mavericks season not done yet. There will be a game 5 in San Francisco.
Whew, the Mavericks, they shot 47% from 3 last night, making 20 of their 43 attempts. It's a make or miss league after all. Golden State, they only shot 3 uncontested threes all night. The Mavs, 25 uncontested threes. So the Mavs, they're attempting over 41 threes per game this postseason. That leads the NBA. And in recent years, teams like the Rockets, the Jazz, they've shot even more than that. Do you actually enjoy, Richard, watching this brand of basketball?
Yeah, because it's not just three-point shots. I know we focus on that, but it's like how you get to them, the players that are creating them. They're still good shots. And, like, you can't fall in love with the Warriors because they are different. So every other team has to play a little bit different than the way the Warriors do.
Yeah, if you don't like this brand of basketball, you're going to have a problem for the next 10 or 15 years in the NBA because this is all there is. And to Richard's point, I think there is this idea that because everybody shoots tons of threes, every team looks the same. And that has never been true and is not even close to true. The Warriors play much different than the James Harden Rockets, and the Mavericks play much differently than both of those teams. They might all end up shooting a lot of threes, but the pathway there, the techniques there are different. I think the league is in a great place. I understand why some old school guys don't want 40, 50 threes every game. The math is, if you don't want that, you're going to have to change the rules somehow because the math has been discovered and it's not changing.
Yeah, but we haven't got great basketball, especially.
We have not.
Especially in these finals, and it's due because of the lack of three-point shooting. Like, if you go and look.
Wait, the lack of three-point shooting?
I mean, like, teams not being efficient. So the teams are getting blown out all because guys are passing up wide open layups to kick out for threes because that's what they're told to do. Space, go 5 wide, drive and kick, and look for the open three. And you know what else? It's ruining the upcoming generation of hoopers that's coming in. Look, I spend 10 to 12 hours a day on Saturdays and Sundays at an AAU gym watching my sons play basketball. And all I'm watching is a whole lot of children, a whole lot of kids develop bad habits and have bad tendencies because this is what the NBA, this is the example that they're setting.
Well, but are the kids trying to be Steph Curry or are they just catching the ball and shooting open threes? Those are two different things,
right? I'm literally watching kids have open lanes, driving to the basket for layups and driving all the way out to the corner to pull up for a three-point shot because of what they see on television.
But some of that is coaching, and I know we talk about that even on a lower level. Like, I understand that the game has evolved and had to change, but like our point, if you drive into the paint and then kick out, that's a much better three. So I think, you know, I understand it can be frustrating, but ultimately, you know, if you teach the kids the right ways, those are going to be the ones that have the advantage.
Have you enjoyed watching that Western Conference Finals?
Well, I haven't enjoyed watching either of the finals. Okay. They've both been trash.
Okay, my point exactly.
Person. I'm a grumpy person.
Yeah, but the myth of all this is there's this. The analytics is like this villain that has changed the game. It's all threes. But what analytics has done is every team that shoots a lot of threes still thinks and knows the most valuable shot in the game is a layup or a dunk. What's really happened is that pull-up mid-range jumpers by non-star players, stars still take a lot of those shots, have turned into threes. Are we really, like, that angry about that? Because that's what's happened.
No, yes. And I think – but that's –
yes, we are.
Yeah, well, perks – but that's your point. Star players still do it.
Yeah.
Right? Star players still do it. And I just think when you're teaching young players, you should teach them the entire game, not the little triggers of three or dunk or layup. You got to teach them the whole game.
Well, speaking of stars, the star of the game was no doubt Luka Doncic, right? 30 points, 14 rebounds, 9 to save the Mavs season. I mean, Luka, my goodness.
Doncic, he's that dude. He don't care. Look at this. Just the dunks, the easy. We didn't even see a ton of dunks from him early.
Let's dive into the numbers. Luka in elimination games, starting with 30. Luka's now scored 30, at least 30, in 5 career games when facing elimination, the second longest streak to begin. So moving on to 17, it was Luka's 17th career 30-point game in the playoffs, tied with Kobe and KD for the second most in the NBA history by a player before turning 24, only behind LeBron James. And last, but certainly not least, 36.4. That's Luka's career scoring average when facing elimination, by far the highest in NBA history among players with at least 3 such games.
I ain't no joke.
Look at Luka, take it right down the lane. It's in a 1-3, Luka!
What he does for this team is incredible. He's our leader. When he goes, we go. And he loves that stage.
I ain't no joke.
I just want to win the game, and that's it. You know, we got more to do, you know. This is nothing. We got 3 more, and, you know, we have to go game by game. We're going to be lifted till the end.
I ain't no joke.
Good track. All right, Luka's taking this game to another level. The Mavs, they'll be facing elimination again on Thursday. Perk, what attribute makes him so good in these situations?
Well, I think me and Richard agree on something finally. He don't give a damn. Look, you could drop Luka anywhere in America, and he's going to be Luka Doncic, right? You have guys that only be themselves, even superstars, show that type of emotion, that type of aggressiveness, being mean, talking noise at home. Luka is going to do that on the road, at home, in your nearest hood, whether it's out the country, in the country, it don't matter. And when you have a superstar guy that has that type of tenacity and has that type of talent, look, this is what makes him so great.
Well, it is. And we joke, look, if you're from the West Coast, right? You
West
play
Coast.
West Coast. You play a little run and gun basketball. When you play, when you go in New York, you know, it's dribble, dribble, dribble. That's the way they play in New York. Southside Chicago's a different way. It doesn't matter.
What about in Texas?
I don't know what them Texas boys are. I'm just growing big out in Texas. But I'm saying, though, you can put him anywhere, and his game just translates because his IQ, his size, his handle, he has so many special things. But more importantly, the part that we are laughing about, he don't care. He don't care about you. He don't care about him. He don't care about nothing but hooping and trying to help his team win. And you just see the energy. He's that good and that special.
Well, this is who he is. Whether it's closeout games or game one, he's scoring 30 points in every single playoff game, no matter how you slice the averages. And I think what you guys are saying is the moment is never too big for him. He does not care about the pressure. He's not scared of anybody. You will never see him afraid to get fouled. You'll never see him pass up a layup at the rim because he's afraid to get fouled. You'll never see any of that in big moments. He can get to any shot he wants at any time. He can throw any pass he wants at any time. He's big, he's strong, he's tough. And by the way, we write off these series when they're 3-0, and maybe the Warriors wrote off last night a little bit. We're one Dallas road win away. We saw it with Philly and Toronto. From this becoming super interesting, like, the Warriors don't want to mess around and end up in Dallas for game 6.
What you saying, Zach?
What I'm saying is don't mess around in game five. You better close it out in game five.
No,
I'm taking the Warriors in game five. I'm saying we've seen how rare it is just to go from 3-0 to 3-2. And imagine now there's only two series going on. Imagine the media pressure, everything. If that gets to 3-2, that's interesting.
Nah, they need to focus. You don't want to mess around with going back to Dallas. You don't want to mess around.
Think about what we just said about Luka. You don't want to mess with that guy. Give him extra lives.
And by the way, Perk and I were talking about this off camera earlier. The way that Luka Doncic is talking in his post-game conferences, that swagger, it reminds me a little bit of a Giannis. What he's saying is, you know, it doesn't matter, win or lose, we're going to get it done. And then he goes out and it just leaves it all out there. And it's scary. You don't want to mess with that. There's something we got to mess with, though, before we move on from last night's game. There's just one more moment that you need to see.
What?
Green tries on Cleveland. And that is a foul. Draymond Green did not go to the line in game three.
Look at this.
Shoot that a thousand times.
More than a thousand, and that would never happen.
More than a thousand.
Look at that.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
I love the Curb Your Enthusiasm music behind it, and I don't even know how that's possible. Like, how did that happen?
I don't know. I was at Komodo last night.
Well, you're just too cool.
I was at Komodo.
Too cool for me.
No, but I was watching it on my phone. Shout out, Naila. Happy birthday, my manager. Love you. But I don't think I've seen this very many times ever.
It just, what do you even call, if a wedgie is where, what is this?
Let me say this, of all the players to have it happen to them, Draymond is the player to have them. Well,
is it a ledgie? If that's a wedgie, this is a ledgie?
Don't do that.
That was good.
I'm not trying to even.
You might have won an Emmy, but we're not giving you that.
Yeah, okay,
I'm
fine.
Trying to keep my energy right. I'm not even trying to get into
Well, Zach and I got a little
Draymond.
Something for you guys.
No, we don't. Don't put this on me.
Do you want to relive some of your memorable free throws?
Yes. See, this one, look, and one, first. But look, this one hit the rim. I say it. Watch this. It hit the rim.
It hit the rim.
Thank you. That'll make it great.
Look how little you care.
Who do I care?
I didn't know.
Yeah, you don't care. You get up there.
I'm not sure this is going to end in an and one.
That's an and zero.
Did that hit the rim?
And zero.
I don't think so.
Look, more worse than that, yeah. I have gone up, bricked two free throws, gone back down, came back down, got fouled again, bricked another two. That's far worse, bricking four free throws and two consecutive possessions than airballing a free throw.
Well, I'm hoping that's not what we have to live through in the Celtics Heat game tonight.
That's the way they've been shooting
on
threes.
On NBA Today, Heat and Celtics battling injuries. We have the latest on Marcus Smart, Tyler Hero, who is actually going to play game five of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Total
you ready,
raw shots.
You want to play?
Total raw shots. Better be coming with no strings.
Better be coming with no strings. NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Party in the city, where the heat is on all night. On the beach till the break of dawn. Welcome to Miami.
Bienvenidos a Miami.
Bouncing in the club where the heat is on.
We just lost every Spanish viewer we had.
On the beach till the break of dawn. I'm going to Miami. Welcome to Miami. You know who else is in Miami.
Come on.
Both feeling better. Marcus is still has some swelling and pain, soreness. They will test it out pregame and see how they feel.
So no decision yet?
No. We've been dealing with it. Especially with the Rob situation for a while. And like I said, he's pretty much day-to-day the rest of the playoffs, so it's something we have to manage and kind of work around.
Well, you know who's clearly in Miami and dressed for the occasion. Look at this.
Let me get that
fan.
All the colors.
Oh, yeah. All the colors. We got to get the fan on Cassidy. Yes.
Wait, but this is too many buttons.
I got one more.
It's too few buttons for the record. Too few.
This is daytime television, okay? Cassidy Hubbard is joining us now. Let's get this thing back on track. You were at Shootaround today, Cass. What else can you tell us about Marcus Smart and Robert Williams' status?
Look, you heard Ime say it. You know, Marcus still has swelling, pain, and soreness. My understanding before game four was that that ankle had significant swelling. Now, we haven't seen him play in a few days, and we know how ankle injuries and swelling can go down. But we're going to find out. Game time decision. We'll see. He's going to go out there and give it a test. Robert Williams, he may also said he's going to be day to day for the rest of the playoffs. And that's understandable given that it's a surgically repaired knee. But he may did say, even though injuries at this time in the season are normal, he did say seeing the amount of names on the injury list is alarming.
Yeah.
And I think we can all agree to that.
Absolutely. And I hate to do a ranking of who's more or less important, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Why not?
I'm going to start with you, Zach. Who's more important to
start
a
with
champion?
Me. That's great.
I like that. I'm giving them a break. More important to a championship run, Marcus Smart or Robert Williams?
Can I cop out and say both? If I have to pick, I think it's Marcus Smart. I mean, he was a defensive player of the year. He's their point guard. He is I think, a little bit more important to how they play switch everything defense because he's the rare point guard who's big enough to, like, deal with Bam Adebayo in the post. Robert Williams brings a vertical dimension that nobody else gives him, but if I can get by with Al Horford and Grant Williams at the four and the five and then playing a little small with Tatum or Brown at the four, I think I can survive that more than I can Marcus Smart for a prolonged period of time.
I'm going with Robert Williams. And not to disrespect Marcus Smart, we get what he brings to the table, and we get how valuable he would be if they would happen to make it to the finals and possibly face the Golden State Warriors. But you have to get there. And I think when you look at Robert Williams, the thing that he provided in this Miami Heat series is comfort to Al Horford to be able to do what he needs to do individually to Bam Adebayo. We saw when Robert Williams was out the game, Bam Adebayo had it his way for the simple fact that he wasn't afraid to attack the basket. Al Horford had to do both. He takes so much pressure off of Al Horford. They have to get through this series first to even think about winning the championship.
You added a whole extra syllable to Adebayo.
I'm trying to work on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I won't make fun of you.
No, I've been missing it, though.
Okay. No, it's fine. Don't change.
He's overheated.
When I look at Robert Williams, you know, it's so tough because when he plants his feet in that lane and anybody drives, that lob threat is always there. So you have to worry about where you're going to do. But there is no one, in my opinion, that is more important to you know, outside of Jason Tatum, it's Marcus Smart.
Yes.
Because defensively, the intensity, you saw the one game that he was out and he was trying to rally the troops, like that energy that he brings. And on top of it, he is the best perimeter defender in a league that you need perimeter defenders. Let's look at the other side. You got Luka on the other side and you got Steph, Clay, Jordan. You got a lot on the other side. If you don't have the best perimeter defender in the league currently right now, then you're missing probably a key component to even winning a championship.
And don't get it twisted. Just because they blew out the Heat without Marcus Smart in the last game doesn't mean his presence doesn't make a huge difference in this game tonight. And I just think it's both, though, to your point, not to be Chanae.
Everyone, Chanae.
Hey, we miss you. All right, let's shift to the Heat side of things and get an update on Tyler Hero and bring in Brian Windhorst. Brian, what can you tell us about Hero's status for tonight's game five?
Well, he's listed as questionable, Malika, and throughout the playoffs, whenever the Heat have listed a player as questionable, generally they have played. So the question, I think, isn't so much availability. It's what his ability to impact the game is going to be if he gets out on the court. Now, when he sat out game four, the reason he did was because he had pain running on that groin. He was already a target of the Celtics offense when he was fully healthy. So if he does get out on the court in that six-man role where he's excelled so much tonight, look for the Celtics to attack him defensively and test just how agile he is on that groin injury.
Brian, thank you for that update. All right, I want to bring it back to the panel here because, Zach, it's really your first opportunity to stretch and talk about this series a little bit. I'm thankful you're here because we've heard enough from the peanut gallery over there.
Peanut gallery.
I know. In your eyes, though, Zach,
When has the Celtics offense been at its best?
So Kyle Lowry coming back really changed Miami's defense almost as much as its offense, because all of a sudden they can switch a lot more. There's fewer weak links to pick at. Max Strus is the only thing that passes for a weak link now in Miami's starting five, and he's pretty solid, but he's not solid enough to deal with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And the Celtics are at their best offensively when they're calculated, when they think, when they don't waste time and they don't waste possessions. Get to your matchups and attack the matchups. This was my favorite play from game four. It's a double pick and roll. Kyle Lowry says, go switch it, Max Strus. I'll be the last line of defense. I'll be the last guy. And Jason Tatum's like, all right, cool. Go away, Robert Williams. I'll just deal with Max Strus. I got what I want. Bam creeps up. Boom. Decisive attack. Alley-oop to Robert Williams. Smart. Don't waste time. Don't waste possessions. Get the matchup you want. Here's another one. Here's Tatum here. Boom. Look how he doesn't pause. He doesn't take the ball out to dance with it. He gets the switch and he just goes right at him. Fly by. Easy long two. About as easy as shot you're going to get in the heat. And then this play has just killed Miami over and over again. Sideline pin down for Jaylen Brown. Gets the same switch. And for whatever reason, Jaylen Brown has been really comfortable going at Strus. I don't know what it is about that matchup. He really likes that matchup.
He's a lot better than him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but Max Strus is solid. It's not like a weak link. To Wendy's point, when you put Hero out there, if Duncan Robinson's in the game, the Celtics are going right at those guys every single time. And when Celtics are at their best, when they don't mess around, just go to what works. Don't overthink it. Don't waste time.
I agree. This was the point where I was going to say the stage is set. Let's make some picks. But then I thought there's a different kind of pick that I have in mind.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Cassie, I think you'll enjoy this. Cassie.
What happened?
He had a big, long nose hair.
No, but that's...
it was so long, I could see it from two seats down.
But you know he's a grown man. He can handle that himself.
I have to look at my phone because I can't.
Did you wash your hand?
We got it.
You're sitting right next to me.
Got it.
I gave you a high five before this show.
Yeah, I think Malika.
I think this counts as a hostile work environment for me.
Stop it.
My germs.
He wiped Perk's nose hair on me.
Yeah, now you're sitting there. They put you in that seat.
Thanks for having me on NBA Today, guys.
Still ahead, the All-NBA teams have been released, and a surprising name was left off the first team. Our panel's reaction to that and more coming up on NBA Today. Then maybe don't grow your nose hairs out so long.
I think he was talking about Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Hotels.com. Back with Zach, Richard, and Perk. All right, the All-NBA teams, they've been released. Let's take a look at the results. Here they are. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the only unanimous selection for first team. It was the first time since 1955, so the year that Richard was born, that all players on first team are 27 or younger.
Okay.
You can see the rest of the selections.
What did he say? Okay.
Just to remind our viewers, the financial impact of all NBA team announcements, Trae Young bumps up 30% to the 30% max. Karl-Anthony Towns, Devin Booker both qualify for the Supermax contract extension. So, a ton to dig into with the results, but the elephant in the room, Joel Embiid.
My fault. That was not intended to be.
All right. He finished second in MVP voting. Still missing out on first team All-NBA. Zach, help me.
I got to talk now?
Help me understand this and ignore thing one and thing two.
What is the question?
Are you a okay with Joel Embiid being left off?
I'm not excited about it. I mean, like, I don't know what you're supposed to do. So they NBA says, okay, we're going to list him as a forward and a center, so you can put Jokic on first team and Embiid on first team. Then you get your ballot, and it says, please vote players at the position where they actually play basketball. I say, okay, what am I supposed to do? So does it stink that the guy who finished second in MVP voting is on the second team? Yes. Is it unprecedented? No. Like Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain got first team.
No, we're not going
team.
Far.
Well,
that
but that's
far
fine.
Back.
But then just change the rules and just say there are no positions. Just
but
vote
that's
for the
conversation
just vote,
we should be having.
Vote for the best 15 guys, which is totally nice. Fine.
Listen, I'll let the elephant
no,
go first.
Go ahead. Now, listen, seriously, though, it's so disrespectful to Joel Embiid, right? One, he should have won the MVP. Well, we're talking about the guy that led the league in scoring, right, that had to deal with so much drama.
We got your vote.
He did. And, look, here's the thing. I also had a vote. And what you could have done, Zach, was you could have penciled him in as a forward.
I know. That's what I said.
Okay, I'm saying, but did you do it? You said
it. No, my first team is the
first. Zach is a dude what he's told. Zach's going to follow the instructions. Colors in the lines.
Look, I don't like coloring outside the lines. It does annoy me.
We're not talking about all that right now. I got the floor, okay? Listen, here's the thing. Joel Embiid has been getting disrespected, and it has to stop. At the end of the day, we talk about the game being positionless, right? It's a positionless game. Take away all the men. You had the argument yesterday whether Steph Curry is a PG or he's a shooting guard or he's a hybrid. All that. So why is the vote not positionless, right? Just give me the top five players that should be on the all NBA team, first team, all the top 15, and you go from there.
My biggest issue is this. This is the 75th year of the NBA, and we have all of these, the 50 greatest, and then now the 75 greatest. Your resume is what goes into that. Right? Your resume. How many all NBAs? How many MVPs? All of this thing. Klay Thompson, when he missed out on an all NBA a few years ago when they were on their way to win a championship and that cost him the Supermax, that affected him. And it affects legacies. And I'm not saying like legacy, like is it number one or number two, but if Joel Embiid is going to be one of the next 100 greatest players, they're going to count your all NBA first team. They're going to count your all NBA teams and your all stars. So to have a guy who was either the first or second best player in the league this year be on all NBA second team, that means that somebody in this list on the first one, and look, I hate to break it down, but I would probably take off Luka. And we've set up here and sang Luka's praises. I would take off Luka. Right? Jason Tatum, we know
I'm
where his team finishes.
I'm glad you did that because all the snub conversations, no one actually does the who do you take out.
And that's not. And we've sang Luka's like his praises. But I think Luka and like the way he started this year very slowly and then ramped up, I believe he belongs on second team. And then Joel Embiid should be on first team. So there is an answer right there. I just think that when we have the 75 greatest, you see guys that were upset that they weren't on it. Well, these are the awards that go into it, so the NBA has to get this right, and they have to fix this.
Whatever the next list is of 7,500 greatest, Joel Embiid is going to be on it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. First team, second team. Joel Embiid is going to be on it because it's not. If they do it on 100, the year 100, it's going to be a lot of years. He's
I feel
be
like
it.
If we don't cut this off now, we're going to just keep going on forever. Was, more NBA Today coming up after the break. Stop.
No, I don't want to do that. No. I want to see that. Where's that at? Where's that at?
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Hotels.com.
Our next WNBA matchup is Saturday afternoon on ABC and the ESPN app. The Aces, they square off against Candace Parker in the Sky. Coverage begins at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific. Sticking in the WNBA, Mercury star Brittany Griner has been detained in Russia for 97 days facing a drug charge, which could carry a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison. ESPN special correspondent Angela Rye sat down with Griner's wife, Sherelle Griner, in an exclusive interview where she spoke out about Brittany's detainment.
What was the last thing she said to you before she left for Russia?
It's the irony of all of it. You know, she didn't want to go back. So she just said she was so exhausted from always having to go overseas. And we talked about it, and I was like, well, you know what, babe? Like, let's just make this your last year of season. I was like, you don't have to go back anymore. Mm-hmm. I was like, we'll figure something else out, you know, when it comes to pay, because obviously there is a tremendous difference in the amount of money that she makes when she's playing WNBA versus when she goes overseas.
If it was LeBron or KD or Steph Curry, do you think that you would be sitting here today?
Thank you, Angela. You can watch the full exclusive conversation with Brittany Griner's wife on NBA Countdown tonight at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN. Griner's unlawful detainment, the WNBA, they're consistently a place where players raise their voices, and last night was no different. So here's Mystics guard Natasha Cloud last night on the elementary school shooting in Uvalde, Texas.
Today we're going to do a media blackout. I think that you are all aware of what is happening, what happened in Texas, what happened in Buffalo not even a week and a half ago. We have an issue in this country, not only white supremacy, we also have a gun violence issue. And this is us using our platform, right? This game doesn't matter. The 18 lives and the number is going up by the minute. The 18 lives that were lost today from senseless gun violence in Texas at an elementary school. We're talking about our kids not being safe to go to school. And our government is still not implementing sensible gun laws. This isn't about taking people's rights away from bearing arms. This is about putting sensible gun laws in so this doesn't happen again. We cannot continue to make the same mistakes. We cannot continue to allow these things to happen in our country, and nothing is being done with it for money, for profit. So I'm calling on everyone, please put this out, post it, write to your not only local representatives, but your federal representatives, and tell them you are tired. Tell them that we are tired of lives being lost in this country for sensible, senseless. It is time to implement gun laws and stop caring about profit and money over people and lives. So thank y'all. Please be safe. Please check on your loved ones. If you see crazy shit online, please send it to someone. Send it to the police. Send it to anybody. But if our government's not going to do our job, then we got to do our job and come together as a community, because this is absolutely ridiculous at this point. To the families in Texas, the Mystics are sending our love, our prayers. We prayed for y'all today. We will continue to pray for you, and we will continue to fight for you, and we will fight for everyone in this country. Thank y'all.
As Natasha just said, if you feel compelled, please contact your elected officials and speak out about gun violence. Press for change. Press for background checks. Use your voice. It doesn't have to be this way. It is not like this in so many other countries. We can be better. It matters. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
NBA Today is presented by Hotels.com. Find your perfect somewhere.
For outstanding personality, emerging on-air talent. The Emmy goes to Malika Andrews, ESPN.
Thank you to my family, to the NBA on ESPN family, my NBA Today family. This has been a year of tremendous change for me in a role I never saw myself getting into, let alone at this point. And so thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I just can't say thank you enough.
First of all, I just want to make sure that everybody knows, yes, me and Perk make jokes, we pull out each other's nose hairs, but we, NBA Today, is hosted by an Emmy winner, and again, as much as, you know, basketball and all this other stuff, we have, like, credentials. That right there, as a host of a show and as an Emmy winner, gives all of us credentials because of the work that you put in. And we have somebody else that would like to say hi, as long as you don't cry.
I'll cry.
All right. Kendra, wait, come on, Kendra. Oh, come on in. Yeah. Come on in. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Hi, Kendi.
Oh.
Hi, me. Because, of course, I had to
to come on here to say congratulations. Do you remember when I came on here for your birthday? I said, well, it's easier to come on here than to call you. And Malika, that's because you were literally always so busy. Like, I didn't even know you were in Miami until I turned on my TV. You were always busy because you're always hustling. You're always working. You're always setting such a great example of what it means to be a good journalist. And you're such an inspiration to me and so many other young women, young people of color. But Malika, you thanked a lot of people in that speech, and some of those other people want to congratulate you too. So we have a couple messages from someone else too.
Oh, she's gonna cry.
Hey, Malika, congratulations. I am so happy for you, so proud of all you've accomplished and all the things you've done in the short amount of time that you've been in this industry. You've managed to take a lifelong family passion and turn it into a profession, show the world the joy that we feel watching sports, and it's just amazing. I don't know what to say. I really wish I could have been there with you last night.
Hi there, Malika. I just want to tell you how proud I am of you. Mazel tov, dear daughter, on this accomplishment. I love you so much. Slay on.
Oh, man.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Kendi. So you shouldn't have. You're going to make me cry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well,
that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Yes, we are.
Thank you,
Kendi. Can we just keep this here?
Thank you to all of you. We will be back tomorrow. NFL Live is coming up next. And...
Yeah, let's go. Care to hello.
Care to hello.
We're hosted by an Emmy winner.
Look at
hosted.